Hello and welcome to episode number 4 of Zion's Finest, the FFG Imperial Assault Podcast. This is Kenny Brown, joined by a new and illustrious guest, Matthew Richards.
Hello.
We are going to be doing another special report. This is going to be Matthew talking about his excellent, amazing showing at Denver, Colorado Regionals. Spoiler alert, Matthew's really good, and he's going to give us all the sweet details on that. But first off, we just wanted to say thank you to everyone who's been listening to the podcast. We've gotten a ton of downloads. The podcast is doing awesome. We've gotten some good feedback. We love every bit of it. So thank you again for listening. Please, if you're on iTunes, leave us a five-star review and tell the world how much you love us. If you've got any constructive feedback, we would love to hear it. But we just want to get the word out. We are so glad to be a part of the Imperial Assault community, and anything we can do to grow it just makes us happy. But enough of that. Let's turn to Matthew. Introduce yourself, Matt.
All right. I'm Matt Richards. You've been playing Imperial Assault just about since the core set came out. I picked up core set in December of 2015, started playing campaign a few weeks later, and eventually met up with Scott Nielsen, who I'm sure we'll hear on the podcast later. He and I started experimenting with Skirmish a couple months after that. And we've been playing Skirmish pretty much since then.
What other games are you into? I mean, you've been playing IA for a while. Like, are you into other games, other competitive games?
Yeah, I play a lot of different board games. I love to sort of play all kinds of stuff. This is my first real super competitive tournament-style game that I've played with any degree of seriousness.
That's awesome. Now, give us your favorite faction and list archetype.
Okay, great. So I think that in terms of the stuff that I love to play the most, I've always really enjoyed playing sort of map control, playing for objective points on the map. So lists like Stormtrooper Swarms back in the day were a lot of fun. I think I lean towards Rebels right now, but I found myself playing Imperial a lot more than I would have expected. So I like Alliance Rangers a lot. But really, I just kind of like to experiment and play whatever the most competitive stuff is at the time.
And when you say most competitive, so tell us about some of your, because you're a very good IA player, so tell us about like your success in terms of previous regional play, I mean, anything like that, in terms of like what you fielded. Give us an idea.
Sure. So for the most part, it was pretty casual play through most of 2016. Towards the end of 2016, there were a group of us from the Utah community that decided to go out to the regional event. It was in early December of 2016 out at Power 9 Games in Las Vegas. And that was just a month or two after the Seattle play group had sort of figured out the Agent Blaze spy trooper mix that was super dominant. And so I had sort of watched some of the world streaming, and that was my first real exposure to a lot of the larger competitive scene. And I was really interested in that. And so I spent a lot of time practicing and working, sort of figuring out how to play that particular list. I didn't have the exact same command card deck because I couldn't find it. So I kind of reconstructed my own. But with the group of us, we went out and I actually managed to win that regional event in 2016, which is a lot of fun. I've won a store championship here in Utah. And I did fairly well at this regional event in Denver. I know we're planning to go to some other events later this year, but that I don't have much of a pedigree in terms of organized play.
And who is your most favorite IA figure?
Oh, my most favorite IA figure. That's hard to say. I think I have to go with Jedi Luke, even though. I haven't run him as much as I would like to. I love the idea of him. I love the presence that he has on the board.
That's a great choice. Okay, well, what we are going to do this episode, as we said, it's going to be another special report. What Matt is going to do is walk us through each of his amazing regionals games. He's going to give us a report on how he did and some general thoughts on the meta. So Matt, take it away.
Great. So I wanted to sort of mention before diving into this that if you talk about prepping for a regionals event, especially one that you're traveling to, I pretty much did none of the right things in terms of preparing for that. My wife and I just recently bought a house, and so we were super busy. And so I didn't get to play a whole lot following the release of Heart of the Empire. I felt pretty rusty. So I ended up running a list that seemed kind of fun. I wasn't planning to do super well. I certainly surprised myself in terms of how I went out with the results. In terms of round one out at Denver, I was the only one of the five of us that didn't get matched up with somebody else from our playgroup round one of the Swiss. I played against Jim, who was a Denver local, and he was a pretty new player. I think he said that he had played a little bit of skirmish when the game first came out, had been away playing other games, and then came back. So he was running a rebel list with Luke and Han. It was Luke, Han, Ahsoka, Gideon, and Hera, and Mach, and then Balance of the Force.
Interesting.
Now, I should mention what my list is. I chose to run an Alliance Rangers list, so it was Elite Rangers paired with Ahsoka and Drakata, and then Rebel Care Package, Gideon and 3PO, Hera, and then a regular Alliance Smuggler. So we were playing on Jabba's Palace. I was on the stairs side of the map. One of the funny things is I rolled initiative. I won initiative for every single round I played at Denver, which is, you know, take it or leave it. But so I sort of looked across at his list and saw that he was running Luke and Han and Ahsoka, and I had Rangers. And so I opened the door on my side with my smuggler, and he dumped down in the pit. We were playing the map, the one where the crates are worth 4 points at the end of the round.
New ownership.
And so the smuggler dropped down in the pit, and Jim sort of looked at that, and he decided to take Jedi Luke and drop him down in the pit and kill my smuggler.
Huh.
Which was, you know, he did it, no problem. But then I kind of looked at the rest of the board, and I was like, well, he's basically got Ahsoka and Han against, like, the rest of my list. And so I had some focused Rangers go, and in a single Rangers activation, I sniped Ahsoka off the board from across the map. And then just kind of pressed forward and cleaned up. And I was actually surprised. Luke did eventually get into the fray and did some damage, but at that point it was kind of too little too late because he had to run up and open the door. And so it was, like, two rounds later. And by then, pretty much everything else was dead. Yeah. So it was a pretty one-sided thing. But Jim was a super great guy, super nice guy. Had a lot of fun getting to know him and to play with him. And yeah, so that was round one.
All right, round two.
Great. So round two, I played against another Denver local. His name was Olaf. And he was running what was a pretty interesting list. And it made me smile. Because I had so much fun playing with the double elite stormtrooper list back in when they kind of had their heyday. So he was running a list that was like a stormtrooper swarm. It was two elite stormtrooper groups, two regular stormtrooper groups, a group of elite jets. And I think he might have had an officer or two in there. I forget exactly how that rounded out. But so he just had a ton of plastic on the board. And I looked at that and I was a little bit worried. And he said this to me after the match as well, that, like, part of why he decided to run that list was that he was looking at the other stuff that was being run on the meta, and everything was so focused on, like, high damage outputs from single attacks. And so he sort of figured that if he could have a lot of figures on the board, they could go out, they could eat damage, they could get reinforced, and that he could be able to do stuff.
Yeah.
We were playing on the Anchorhead Cantina map. On the crates where you haul the crates out for 10 points on the other side.
Lime
and
fire.
I ended up with the top outdoor side because I rolled initiative yet again. And so it's kind of interesting because normally the way that plays out if you're on the top side, particularly if you're running Rangers, is I sort of like to clump up right around that ledge that looks kind of into the main battle room.
Yeah. At the end of the hall.
On the opposite side of the entryway from the door.
Yep.
And kind of like to snipe people as they come through. But yep. Olaf was playing super aggressive. So he positioned one group of East Stormtroopers. He kind of opened the door on his side and positioned them to contest the terminal. And he held his jet troopers back. But everything else, he basically double moved forward into that room.
Interesting.
And I think his plan was to kind of rush in and try to pick up some crates and haul them off for points before I could respond to that. And so I opened my door and I took the safe shots that I could. I think I killed like three total troopers from different groups with Ahsoka, and I contested the terminal in the middle. And that was okay, right? And then round two began and he reinforced a stormtrooper group. He tried to take down Ahsoka, but they just didn't quite roll the damage. I think she took like six or seven damage from the three attacks. And then Drakata went up and he sort of snuck around that ledge into the main room where he had all those stormtroopers and pulled off just this amazing blast shot. I think he dealt 7 damage on the attack. And between the demolish and the shrapnel of his abilities, he also was blasting 3. So he removed 3 stormtroopers with that one attack and did 3 blast damage on 2 other elite stormtroopers. So it was like 15 or 18 damage from a single attack.
Oh my gosh.
It was just kind of like, I think the matchup was bad. He wasn't expecting to see Drakata, and it kind of ruined his day.
Yeah, Drakata will just destroy stormtroopers.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was like, he was positioned aggressively, which is super smart, but the problem was there wasn't really anywhere that he could position to mitigate the blast damage all that well.
Yeah.
And so from there, it was a pretty easy cleanup. The other thing was that the smuggler rolled a couple of dodges after picking up a crate, which is really unfortunate for my opponent just because that means he gets to move the 3 spaces after being attacked.
Yeah, every time. Yeah, and that's a good point.
So it was like, it only took 2 activations for the smuggler to move from picking up a crate to returning it in to claim the final 10 points.
That is so amazing.
Yeah, which is one of the reasons why I really like the smuggler right now, is he just has so many opportunities to give you, like, 3 or 4 or 5 times his point value in terms of map points.
Very efficient. High value to cost.
Yeah, exactly. And he's a little bit punishing for your opponent to attack as well. And so I was really happy with the choice that I made to run that particular figure.
Yeah, it's good. Okay, round 3.
So round 3, I play against the illustrious Kenny Brown of Zion's Finest.
Dang straight.
So we can maybe talk about our matchup a little bit. And again, I was a little bit under practice with this particular list. I was not as familiar with how to use Ahsoka or even how to use Drakata. And Kenny was running his MHD smuggler box list that he has just practiced and refined super, super, super well. And so I made a mistake pretty early on. We were playing on the Nalhada Swamps, Raining Freight. I believe that I ended up on the bottom side with the temple stairs.
Yep.
Which is a little unfortunate. I think maybe you won initiative there, which is why I ended up on that side. I might have been wrong about my earlier claim of winning initiative.
You had initiative because I was able to bomb Ahsoka in and pull her out.
That's right. That's right. I guess what happened is that I chose that particular side because I was worried about the sniping potential and being able to group up around a terminal against, you know, the focus Lando and the focus Jin and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that, which was smart. Very smart.
And so I was trying to sort of position Drakata a bit aggressively so that he'd get up in there. I moved him kind of up along the right side. There's that half of the map where the terminal is from the top side, and there's that blocking terrain. And so I was kind of trying to position him to flank up around the right side. And Kenny did what Ahsoka does, and she bombed in. End of round 1, start of round 2, and 2 shot at Drakata and removed him from the map. And I had returned no damage at that point. I was in a rough spot and super far behind. And I realized at that point that I needed to take some risks and that I needed to play smart from here and play very carefully. Because if I played with any additional risk at all, that I would just get cleaned up by sort of Kenny's fortified position. So what I did is I basically sort of hunkered down with Hera and the Rangers and even Ahsoka with 3PO and Gideon, and they sort of built up focuses, and I just sort of took the long range shots that I could get, which at that point meant like taking a focused Ranger attack and shooting at R2 from across the map, which, you know, you never want to be shooting R2 if you can avoid it. But my choice was, do I attack R2 now or do I do nothing? And so I chose to attack R2, and I think it took me 3 Ranger attacks to remove him, which hurts. But at least I got him off the board. I think it was shortly after that Rangers were able to remove Lando. I think they one-shot him, actually.
Yeah, he was, because you assassinated him.
Yeah, and fortunately you hadn't drawn on the Lamb or some of those critical cards yet.
Yeah, so, on Lamb, Cheat to Win, or Miracle Worker are the 3 cards that will save Lando.
Yeah, so I basically boxed up used Ahsoka and the Alliance smuggler to run around and grab crates as they fell from the skies. And I only ended up ever removing those two figures. I only killed R2 and Lando, but was able to, in a very close match, sort of eke out a points victory due to... I sort of forced you to break up the box and come after me.
Yep.
With Jin and with Ahsoka. And you were able to clear out a lot of my guys, and it came down to, like, I had 37 points, and there were two crates right next to my guys. And you have positioned Jin to get the hair trigger shot on 3PO or my remaining Ranger before they activated to pick up the last couple of points. And so Jin shot 3PO, and 3PO rolled the dodge and double moved and picked up the last couple of crates to win. I think it was 41-37. Super yep. close game. Kind of a nail biter all the way through.
It really was. It was a great game.
Mm-hmm. And I definitely feel like I played it smart, but, you know, the dodge came in and saved me, which is not the first time that that happened at Denver.
As we'll discuss.
Not the last time that happened.
And I did talk about this in a previous episode, but Matt did exactly what you need to do. I think there's a lot of times where when people are playing Imperial Assault, like when they're playing Skirmish, they'll lose a figure early on that they weren't really expecting to lose. And at that point, they think, okay, the game's over because I can't come up in the damage race. And you couldn't come back in the damage race, but you had your Alliance Smuggler and you played smart and flexibly. Like, you adjusted your plans so that you could continue to stay... keep up and like get yourself into a spot where you could win the game, which was awesome. It was very, you played it exactly like how you needed to play it.
Yeah, it was one of those situations where, like, just getting a read on the matchup and recognizing that, like, just in terms of figures that can do attacks, I, even though you had removed some of my key figures, I had more figures that could benefit from a focus than you did.
Yeah.
And I had better range than you, and so I had more to gain from playing it slow and sort of playing for the objectives and forcing you to come to me, which allowed me to kind of eke out a win that otherwise wouldn't have been possible.
Yeah, and that's the other problem with Nel Hutta on the top side is that on Reigning Frey, as if that scenario could be any more imbalanced. If you're on the cliffs, it is tough to put your... I mean, you... if you're going to box up, and obviously that's kind of part of the key, is that you can't really box up on Reigning Frey. I mean, it's kind of counterintuitive. You need you want everyone to stay close so that you're not getting Frey all over the board. But in the same vein, it is very tough to position your figures on Reigning Frey in a way that where they can be effective. Like Lando, he needs to be somewhere out in front so I can get shots off. I can't have him moving forward and putting me in a vulnerable position where he gets shots off. But in order to do that...
if you have him too far forward, it allows your opponent to drop their crates on the other side of the terrain where you can't get to him.
Exactly.
And that was largely how I was able to pick up so many points, was that I sort of... forced you to move towards me, which allowed me to drop the crates that I had picked up close to my guys and pick them up again later.
Very well played. All right, round four.
So round four was kind of interesting. So after going 3-0 in the Swiss, I think at that point there were exactly three players that had gone 3-0 in the Swiss rounds. I think because we had three different buys at the start of the tournament because two people played them and then we had an odd number of players. And so I ended up matched up against another 3-0 player, John Grasser, who's from Albuquerque. He's kind of a well-known X-Wing player and a top contender at Nationals and Worlds events, first time meeting him. And so we sat down across from each other and he sort of looked at me and said, "Hey, so we're both 3-0. We don't need to play because we're both going to make the top cut. So you just want to, like, hang out and talk. That's fine, you know." And I sort of looked at what his list was. He was running a Vader Palpatine Jets list, which I hadn't tested my list against Vader yet. And I said, "Well, hey, maybe I would like to play this so that I get a sense for how his list plays." And at first he was sort of saying, "Oh, yeah, that's fine if you want to play it out. I can do that, but I won't play any command cards because I want to keep that information secret in case we run up against each other later." And then he looked at my list and saw that I had a spy and said, "Okay, no." And he conceded before we started playing in order to sort of preserve the secrets of his command card deck for a more important match in the event. So we just sort of sat and talked for an hour and kind of looked at the other matches, which was a lot of fun. Grass is a great guy. I did end up playing Hume later in the tournament, and his choice to not play that round, I think, really worked out in his favor. So
agreed.
Not a bad play from him in terms of gaming the tournament structure.
So 4-0 heading into the cut, obviously you're going to make it. Tell us how first round of top eight went.
Sure. So first round of top eight, I got matched up against John Connolly, who is another sort of well-known name in the X-Wing scene, especially. I haven't heard of him too much in IA, but I may just not be in the loop about that. But he was running a pretty interesting list. It was an IG-88 HK Assassin Droid sort of focus list. He had BT-1, he had Vinto, he had a couple of Jawas, he had 3PO in there. So kind of a long-range sniper scum hunter build with a droid flavor to it. We were playing on the Anchorhead Cantina, if I remember correctly. And so it was the other side with the patrons where you interact with them for the 2, 5, 10, 20 points, right? So I took... I ended up on the bottom side, I believe, and the indoor side, which is kind of a tough position to be in because you don't have easy access to a terminal, and Rangers really want to be on that top side so they can kind of snipe around the corner.
Yeah.
And so this was one of the matches that was kind of interesting because in all of my matches, like, the Alliance Smuggler either came up really big and scored or was worth a ton of points or, like, baited a big figure into a bad position. And that was how he went, I think, in, like, 5 of my 8 matches. And then the other 3, he just kind of flamed out and died early, right? So in this particular case, I sort of moved Ahsoka and I moved the smuggler up aggressively into the room, thinking that he could maybe get off a double interact on some of those patrons and sort of start scoring points for me early.
Yeah.
And he hadn't opened the door yet. And so I moved Ahsoka in to claim the terminal, but I hadn't opened the door on my side. Sort of she ran around the corner, which is a thing I actually really like to do on that particular on the Anchorhead map. Because it allows you to keep most of your list safe and force them to pick whether they want to open the door and attack the figure you choose versus it and then let you open and then return fire.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really paying attention, and I think I was suffering from some exhaustion from the day of play. And what happened was that he was running Vinto, and the Alliance Smuggler only has 3 health. And so Vinto came cruising around the corner and made a couple of rapid-fire attacks and played his card to make an attack and basically did triple bolt sling and remove the smuggler from the mat, right? And so, which hurt, but it's not a huge loss.
Yeah.
I was able to get some return fire onto IG-88. He ended up moving BT in to try and contest and fight against Ahsoka, and she took a couple of points of damage. But BT kind of low rolled it. And then I had some focused Rangers kind of creep around the corner and take a couple of long range shots with some cards. I think I 2-shot BT, and he was like all the way past the terminal into like that little cantina room.
Yeah.
Where my Rangers were kind of out around the corner, past the door. And so we from there, we just kind of slugged it out. Ended up removing some HKs. He removed a bunch of guys, and it was super close. He ended up interacting with a couple of the patrons, and I had interacted with none of them. And it came down to, I think I had one Ranger and 3PO and Ahsoka left against. He had one HK with 2 damage, an IG-88 with like 5 or 8 damage, and then 3PO left, which is pretty close.
Yeah.
But IG-88 was in close enough range that he could just make duplicate attacks with his movement speed. So I was in kind of a tight position. And so what Connolly did, which was smart, it was the right play, is he used his 2 movement points and he moved up to make an attack on Ahsoka from like 3 spaces away, you know, rolling red, red, green.
Oh.
And he made 2 attacks against Ahsoka, and those top 8 dice just really came up for me, and she dodged both of them straight in a row.
Oh man!
Which just like I felt terrible about. Like
it's, and he had good rolls on the other side too.
It was rolling like 7 or 9 damage, like something insane. And Ahsoka just had the Force with her. I felt terrible. It felt like a steal.
Yeah.
And so at that point, he moved IG-88 away. I had dealt some respectable damage to him, but he used, I think the card's called Glory of the Kill, that lets you heal after you kill a figure.
Yeah.
And so he used that to heal IG-88.
After you defeat a figure.
Yeah, exactly. And so I recognized that he was in striking point to get his 40 points if he interacted with the last two patrons that were in the center, the ones that are diagonally adjacent to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I moved Ahsoka over there to contest control of both of those spots so that he would have to kill her in order to get those points. And so he went for the kill again. HK reached around or shot around the corner trying to remove Ahsoka, and I played her card, which immediately dealt 3 damage back to the HK and removed it, which is something that I had been kind of trying to set up for the last couple of rounds. I noticed that the HK only had 2 damage on it, and so I was saving that card for when he inevitably was going to attack Ahsoka.
Yeah.
And then sort of went in, got some extra damage in IG-88, and then IG-88 showed up. He attacked, I think he moved, and then made a third attack against Ahsoka, which she then, again, just dodged. And then Ahsoka went in and took out IG-88 for the win. And I have to say, like, John Connolly was a great guy. If I had been in a situation where a critical figure of my opponent's had dodged, like, 3 huge attacks in a row, like, I would have been super tilted and upset.
Oh, yeah.
And he was super gracious, like, super, super kind about it. It felt a little bit like a steal, especially given how little I had actually prepped for the event to kind of win off the back of a couple of dodges. But sometimes that's how it goes. Welcome to
Imperial Assault. That's it. I mean, like, yeah, exactly. The dice breaks either way. And I also want to say that John Connolly, he really was an extremely cool, gracious guy. He had made these amazing tokens for, I think they call it the Walker Classic, which is mm-hmm. some form of tournament that they run. And he was just very, very good, very even-keeled about stuff throughout the whole tournament.
Yeah, he was a super fun guy. It was great to meet him. He sort of invited us to sort of join his Walker Classic events and Facebook groups and stuff. So, shout out to him. If you're interested in X-Wing or IA events, I think you check out Walker Classic on Facebook. We'll throw out a plug for him there. But yeah, that was my top 8 round.
Top four,
I got matched up against Jerem or JK, who you guys heard about in our last episode, and you probably heard about this match a little bit as well. So he was running a double elite sentry droid that he had splashed into scum using an elite Jawa. He also grabbed 3PO with the Jawa and then used Temporary Alliance to bring in Gideon and Hera. He was running an elite Claudite. I can't remember if he had anything else. I forget exactly how the points stack up there. But when those sentry droids get focused, like they can, like if you think Alliance Rangers can snipe, like hoo boy, those sentry droids can hit with more damage and more consistency at longer range every single time.
Yeah, it's insane.
And so we were on the Nahutta Swamps map. I was again on the bottom side with the temple stairs. And I picked that one again mostly because of the options to sort of position in that main room behind the impassable terrain, behind the walls. I figured it would be a lot easier to get sniper shots off from there as opposed to kind of the more exposed area up front. Obviously, this was on the other side, the shields side. And so this match was pretty interesting in terms of how it played out. I kind of huddled up with my guys sort of behind that line of walls right outside of my deployment zone. I was able to, at the end of round one, so I was kind of pressuring with Ahsoka around the side. I was able to, at the end of round one, get a focused ranger attack off on a sentry droid that he had positioned a little bit too far forwards. And then at the start of the round, play a Call to Vanguard. And so that, I think, with another Hunter card, was able to remove one of his sentry droids Before it even got to attack, it had been focused and it lost the focus.
Ooh.
Which is a pretty big blow
for that
particular list.
That's huge. I mean, because the thing is with JK's list is that the sentries have got almost unparalleled firepower, just in terms of, like, once they get focused, they can hit so far away and so hard, especially when they've got Hera backing them up. Mm-hmm. But if he loses one, then his, I mean, he's losing his offensive output by 25%. And if it's focused without even taking a shot, that's a big blow.
Yeah, yeah. So I ended up sort of pushing Ahsoka all the way around, like, the far right side, and she looped around and one shot the Elite Claudite and was kind of flanking from behind and removing some dudes while I was kind of pressing forward and to the side. He had collected a fair number of shield generator points, of nat points using his Jawas that I sort of looked at and thought that I was going to be in a better position to contest map points, but with all of his stuff, he was actually ahead on map points. And so that was another game that came down to a super tight contest in terms of points, and it was kind of coming down to a nail-biter for, like, who could get those last, like, 3 or 4 points. And I think it was, like, end of round 4, we ended up doing one of those weird, like, Cold War-ish stalls where we both had, like, initially claimed 2 of the shield generators, but we double moved. Like, I moved Hera in, and he moved a sentry droid and stuff to contest other shield generators to mitigate the points that the other person would collect from them at that round. And then at the start of the round, it was just kind of like, okay, who can get, like, I think he needed to get 5 more points, and I needed to get 3 more points. And I made a mistake with my first activation, actually, because I needed 3 more points, and I was like, well, he's a sentry droid that only has 3 life. And so I tried to make a Hera attack and kill him, and she failed. Jerem tried to follow up to remove Hera and didn't quite roll the damage. And then I looked up and realized that his elite Jawa that was, like, standing in the middle of the field had taken 4 damage from Black Market over the course of the previous rounds. And I just hadn't noticed it or thought about the damage that was already on the Jawa because I hadn't applied it. It had come from Black Market. So then I looked at it. I was like, okay, well, Ahsoka can force jump in, and I think she can do 1 damage against the Jawa. And she pulled it off. The Jawa didn't dodge, and that bumped me up to 40 points to win the game.
But there
you go. Another super close game against someone from Zion's Finest.
And we will forgive you for beating poor JK.
Yeah, I think he crushed me at the store championship finals the last time we had one of those. So, you know, turnabout's fair play and all
that.
That's
exactly right. That's exactly right. All right.
And so finally moving on to the finals, ended up matched up against Grasser with his Vader list, who I had previously encountered in the Swiss, but had not played because of his concede. This match was kind of a blowout. We were on the Jabba's Palace, which was not a great map for me. I ended up picking the Stera side, which I think is slightly better for Rangers generally. So his list, just as a review, he was running Vader, Palpatine, 2 Elite Jet Troopers, 2 Imperial Officers, and Zillo. And I know we're going to talk about some of the nuances of that particular list. I've been playing it a bit since the event. We're going to talk about some of that in the future. Grasser was a super, super nice guy, really interesting competitor, and very sort of keyed in. He's been playing in X-Wing for a long time. He's very keyed into not just, like, how do you optimize your play, but how do you optimize how you work through the tournament format, as you can remember from our earlier matchup. And so I hadn't practiced against a Vader list at all, and he just sort of slowly pressed forward and cut down my guys. I had a couple of unfortunate things. I had some misplays. So I initially decided that I was going to try and take advantage of the ranged opportunities because if I knew that if I moved in and tried to take on, like, Vader and Jets in the, like, corridor, like, crazy line of sight area in the middle where most of the firefights happen, that I was just going to get ripped apart because those Jets can hop over that terrain no problem.
Yep.
And Vader can get close enough to do some real damage. And so I sort of pushed out far enough to claim the terminal and opened the door on my side and kind of positioned out in, like, the large open room. sort of figuring that if he was going to want to attack me, he was going to have to walk down those hallways and that I would get some line of sight on me. And he did some really interesting things. He used officers to push Palpatine forward, which is not something that most people want to get Vader into the fray. And he sort of pushed Vader up and enough to where I could start firing at him. But he positioned the rest of his list so carefully that Vader was the only target I could see without overcommitting my figures to try and shoot something else. And I think that's critical when you're running a list like that with Vader. And it's even more critical if you're playing against Rangers, because if you can get within their 5 space range, you really mitigate a ton of their damage because they lose that double reroll.
Yeah, it's huge.
They just need with the 2 blues. One of the mistakes that I think that I made is I gave my focus to Ahsoka early on. I think I should have given it to a Ranger and saved the later rounds to kind of allow Ahsoka to do things once melee range was a thing that was happening. I also pushed Drakata up, and I was trying to use his demolish ability to create some difficult terrain and slow Vader down. And it didn't really work. It didn't really do anything. And so I took some long-range shots at Vader, but they all pretty much bricked. I think my focused attack was the longest range one, and I did some rerolls, and he played tough luck and removed my blue range die so that I just didn't make range. And so I think that, I made, 3 or 4 attacks against Vader and ended up doing 2 damage, which is not what you need from no. Rangers and Drakata.
Yeah, not at all. If you're not getting 4 or 5 damage on Vader per shot, then you're wasting shots.
Yeah, exactly. And so he just sort of continued to press in and sort of close on my guys through the door, and I kind of continued to hunker back into my deployment zone. And I was able to eventually remove Vader. And it was one of those matches where if you're not super familiar with your Imperial Assault, or if you're just kind of spectating, it's pretty easy to kind of look and be like, oh, it looks fairly close. But it wasn't actually that close. It was like I had removed Vader, and I think at that point I'd lost Drakata and a Ranger. And he was able to use some really smart stuff like a grenade or attempt plus Palpatine Force Lightning plus the Emperor free shot to one-shot other Rangers. And so by the time that it got down to where he had killed, I think he killed everything in my list except for Gideon. And at that point, I had killed Vader and 3 jets. And so it looked fairly close. It might have just been 2 jets. You know, it was it was Ahsoka and a Ranger versus Palpatine and 2 jets, which doesn't seem that far off. But if you look at the health pools and the discrepancy there, and the fact that both the Ranger and Ahsoka had already eaten some damage because Ahsoka had to push aggressively up to finish Vader with her Pierce, it was he had an extra 20, 25 health left on the board to my 6 or 8.
Yeah.
And was able to pretty cleanly take me apart. So if I were to play the matchup again, there were a lot of things that I think I would do differently. I misplayed a lot due to lack of preparation and due to just being tired from having played that many rounds that day. But I will say that, Grasser is an incredible player. His positioning is just meticulously perfect. And he pretty casually sort of wiped me off the board.
The thing is also is that we were not expecting... We were expecting to see Vader, but we had kind of talked about and discounted Vader and Palp because, mm-hmm. We thought, mm-hmm. 21 points for 2 activations. It takes Palp a while to get into the fray. What is Vader going to do? Who are their wingmen? And honestly, part of my problem is that Grasser's list is only 6 activations, and mm-hmm. 6 activations leaves you vulnerable to a lot of things, especially with Vader, right? Because with Vader, you want him to be able to get maximum value out of his end of round move and attack. And if you've only got 6 activations, your opponent is going to be able to play around that. If I'm assuming, obviously, they've got more. So I just would have thought that things like this, thoughts like that would have pushed, Palp was so slow, would have pushed it out. But what Grasser, mm-hmm. as you said, what Grasser did is he had found a way to make it so that Palp is getting in the fray very quickly. And those, well, it turns out two sets of elite jets is all Vader and Palp really need in terms of they've got great cleanup ability. They're, they are durable. It's very hard to remove them in one attack. And so that it was a great creative list build.
Absolutely. And I wanted to say this, like, so I played a little bit, not with this list, but with other lists against another Vader player in our local community. And he had done kind of a similar thing. I sort of described it as like a full court press using Vader and Riot Troopers. And his sort of version of that was to use Riot Troopers to kind of body block for Vader so that you couldn't attack him and to kind of protect Vader until he gets up in front of you. And the interesting thing about this particular build is that Palpatine is such a key part of the threat. And with the way that Lines of Sight and a lot of the maps work out, it's very possible if you've practiced and if you've figured it out to position such that it's impossible to make an attack on Palpatine while he's still getting a full range of effectiveness, because he can force lightning from four spaces away, he can order figures to attack from four spaces away, so he can kind of peek out and do his thing. And so I wasn't expecting the sheer flexibility and added utility that Palpatine was going to bring into that mix. I think that going forward, it's hard to say. I don't think that the meta is necessarily solved yet, but I do think that a Vader Jets Palpatine list is probably going to be the list to beat in the meta coming forward, just because I think that Ugnaughts, which were so prevalent in the meta previously, just like automatically lose because the junk droid can't do anything to Vader. So you sort of send Palpatine and Jets in to kind of take care of the other damage dealers, and Vader just walks up and is killing two Ugnaughts around. And so that's such a one-sided matchup that I think that, like, Vader is a well-run Vader is always going to be a threat. And the interesting thing about a Vader list, or at least the style of a Vader list, is that Vader is a threat, but he's not the primary threat. He's an impossible question that your opponent has to figure out how to deal with, because he can either suck away a huge amount of resources in order to remove them in terms of attacks and focus and even cards, so that, like, even the Scum Hunter Alpha Strike is investing tons of resources to remove a single figure. And then suddenly you still have Palpatine, who has 13 health, and you've got a bunch of Jet Troopers that, while you're trying to kill Vader, are doing damage, and they can follow up and do even more damage.
Yep.
So I think it's a really interesting list. I'm interested to see if it's something that people can solve, if there's a way to beat it, if there's a counter matchup, and how that all shakes out in the meta. But if you're interested in organized play going forward, I would say practice running Vader, practice playing against Vader, see if you can solve something to figure that out, because you will have to face him sooner or later.
Absolutely. I think that's some awesome insight, and I think we are going to talk about it in a future episode. We're going to talk about some of the recent regionals and nationals reports from Maryland and Netherlands, because I don't know, for some reason, we hadn't figured out Vader going into regionals, but everyone else apparently had. In terms of Maryland, there was a lot of Vader being run, and like the East Coast, and we had heard whisperings about that. We're not totally positive, like, how the Seattle group, we know obviously they've got a really good IA community, and we'll see how their regional shakes out. But even in Dutch Nationals, which only had I think 15 people showed up, and there were Vader lists there. The French just had regionals. There's Vader lists. I mean, Vader's like everywhere, and I figured he would be, but I didn't think this Vader Palp thing would just have caught on quite as spontaneously as it did.
Yeah, I was expecting Vader to be around just because he's new, he's an iconic Star Wars figure, he's a favorite of just a ton of people, so I was expecting him to see play, and that's part of why I chose to run the list that I did, is I figured that Drakata Ahsoka Rangers would do okay at removing Vader, and I think if played more perfectly, if played with some more skill than I was running it on that particular day, I think that they definitely had the opportunity to do so. I've been concerned that maybe Vader is too strong or too tough to beat. I think that there's still some opportunities out there to sort of sort that out and see if there's a way around that. I mean, Alliance Rangers are really good. Ahsoka has a ton of pressure power in a very similar way to Vader. She's not as durable as Vader, but she sort of uses mobility as a defensive option. I think Han, we have a lot of unique figures that can, from a single point on the board, just put tons of map pressure and force your opponent into tough decisions. So just overall, I'm really excited about the game, really happy for the folks at Wizards Chess in Denver who put together the event and for everybody that came out to play. It was a ton of fun. Really happy with ending up in second place. It was great.
That is an awesome summary. We want to thank Matt for giving us an incredible rundown. We also, again, want to thank everyone who has downloaded and listened to Zion's Finest. Again, we encourage you to go onto iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. Give us some feedback. Tell us how you're doing or how we're doing and anything that you think we could improve. We love to hear it all. Matt, do you have anything else to say before we close out?
Not at all. Just play more IA.
All right. Thank you guys so much. Have a wonderful day.